This evening's discussion is to prepare us for Ram Navami coming this Thursday. And because of the health situation in the world, we'll have to do our celebration a little bit remotely. But the part we don't have to do remotely is this nice kirtan and hearing the glories of the personality of Godhead, Ramachandra. During our morning classes, we've been discussing some prayers to Lord Ramachandra offered by Hanuman. It's found in 5th canto, chapter 19. And we'll speak a little bit first about Hanuman, because he's offering the prayers and very beloved devotee of Lord Ramachandra. Famous amongst Hanuman's qualities is his strength, his valor in battle, his being the son of Vayu, and thus his capacity to travel at the speed of the wind, which can move pretty fast sometimes. Mystic power, so many amazing qualities that Hanuman had. We're going to hear a little bit about that. Hanuman was born as the son of Vayu. Now, a little background, how that came to be. When Dasarath, after having ruled Ayodhya for 60,000 years, which is a long time to do anything, he was still without a son. And so, under the advice of his ministers, Rishyasringha performed the sacrifice so that he would be able to have a son. And while that yajna was going on by divine arrangement, simultaneously the demigods had gone to Lord Vishnu. First they went to Lord Brahma, and the demigods were complaining. You gave this benediction to Ravan, and so we're, with that benediction you gave, we're unable to stop him, and he knows it, and so he's become a terrorist of the universe. And you gave him these benedictions, you have to do something. Stop him. So headed by Brahma, they went, the demigods went to the shore of the Milk Ocean, Sweta Dweep, the white island in the middle of the Milk Ocean. They offered prayers, and the personality of Godhead agreed to descend in the world shortly. The demigods were then told by Brahma that you should produce children on earth that will not contradict the boon that I gave to Lord Brahma. That is to say, you should, by your mystic powers, create praja in various species, including monkeys. So many hordes of monkeys are produced by the combination of demigods. And they were to be empowered with mystic powers. They were to be able to change shapes at will, be great heroes in battle, because they were to assist the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, in defeating Ravana. So with that instruction, Valmiki Ramayana describes different personalities, different demigods produce different children on earth, including lower species. And one of those was Vayu, produced a child through Anjana. Anjana was the wife of Keshadi, who was a very powerful Vanara on Mount Sumeru. And Anjana had the capacity of changing shapes also, so she assumed the form of a very beautiful woman. And as she was walking along a mountaintop, Vayu saw her and became very attracted to her beauty. And without physical contact, but by his mystic power, he produced one son. And that son became Hanuman, or Anjaneya, meaning arising from Anjana. And as the painting shows, he had the powers of Vayu. That is, he could travel through space at will. So as a small monkey, he saw in the sky what looked like a ball. And wanting to play with the ball, he went zooming after the ball. And as he would zoom, zoom, zooming through the space, there are different versions of Ramayana. One of them says, Rahu thought that it was his opportunity soon to block the sun, but he saw this Vanara heading in that direction, so he went to Indra. Rahu went to Indra, said, look at this. Do something. You're the king of heaven. So Indra tried to check Hanuman. He wouldn't be checked, so he sent a thunderbolt. The thunderbolt hit Hanuman's jaw, and he went tumbling down to earth and landed, came in for a crash landing. This is the mountain. Those of us that went to Hampi, there's 570 steps going up to the top, and many devotees, including older people, I was very surprised, went all the way up to the top and saw the temple at the top, the place where it is said that Hanuman took his birth. So when Indra's thunderbolt hit Hanuman in the jaw, he went tumbling down to earth, and Vayu saw this happening, and he became very disturbed, very angry, and Vayu stopped doing what Vayu does for the maintenance of the universe. He just, the wind stopped moving. And everyone became choked, something like what happened when Dhruva did his meditation. Everything became choked. And so Brahma invited the demigods to come, including Vayu, to revive Hanuman. And after reviving Hanuman, Brahma suggested, this is a great personality who will be helpful in Lord Vishnu's pastimes to check Ravan, so everyone should give some benediction. So this is a very significant part of Hanuman's life. He, Indra gave him his very special garland, placed it around Hanuman's neck, and said that by this
protection,
by this garland, you shall be invulnerable to weapons. From this day on, my thunderbolt will never be able to harm you. And from this day on, you'll be called as Hanuman, because Hanu means jaw, and Hanuman means the great jaw. So the sun god was next to offer his benediction. And the sun god said, I shall bestow upon this Vanara 100th of my brilliance. Now, sun's pretty bright, so hundredths of his brilliance is pretty significant. And when he begins to study scriptures, he'll be very accomplished in study of the scriptures. Let's see what we can do here. And he'll be unexcelled in his studies. When he grows, he'll be very eloquent, and no one will be able to match his eloquence. I want to be able to read this, but it's not allowing me. Can you help me? There's this text on the right that I want to be able to read, but the cursor won't go there. No, I don't have that turned on. Oh, there. What did you do?
Basically, it's extended, so cursor went to that screen.
Yamaraj gave his benediction that you'll never be afflicted by my rod of punishment. You'll not receive any ailment, and you'll never lose in any battle. That's a pretty good one. Never lose in any battle. Kuvera gave the benediction that he would remain unwearied during the course of battle. And any of the weapons, Lord Shiva said, any of my celestial weapons will never be harmful to you. Vishvakarma similarly said, any weapons, celestial weapons that I have made shall never be of harm to you. And then, very important, Brahma concluded that in battle, he'll prove to be the terror of his enemies and always be protective of his friends. And he'll have the capacity to change his form at will. And he can move at any speed he likes. And he'll be immune to any chastisements on the part of brahmanas. So he got all these special benedictions from everybody. And they parted. Vayu was pleased. Everything was nice. The demigods went back to their abode. Now there's little Hanuman, who is aware that he has all these amazing powers, and he's a little monkey. So he was doing monkey business in the hermitage of the sages and taking their ghee for a sacrificial fire and breaking their ladles, and they knew about Brahma's curse, so they couldn't curse something to stop him. So they made this curse that said he'll forget his powers until that time comes in the future when somebody will remind him. So then he became nice for quite some time. And he eventually became aligned with Sugriva as one of his ministers. And that's when he occasioned to meet Lord Ramachandra. We'll see a painting of that shortly. And here's a painting of the Vanaras along with Jambavan there. And there's Sampati, who informed the Vanaras that Sita is in Lanka. So now they're all huddled around to decide who can go to Lanka, verify that Sita is safe, inform Sita, Ram will come soon to redeem you. And it's a long jump, so they had a little contest of who can jump that far, and nobody could jump that far. But Jambavan was reminding Hanuman, you can do it. You have all these abilities. You have this ability, that ability, the other ability. And by reminding Hanuman of his past, then he had recollection of his powers. So he mentions this chasing the sun. He mentions this. He became so big that he was able to just pick up and thrash around an elephant. He had amazing powers. And just as Hanuman was hearing his powers being described, his body grew and grew and grew. And in the top of the Mahendra mountain, he prepared himself to make the journey. And zoom, off he went, crossing the ocean to get to Lanka. Had obstacles along the way, but unstoppable. And finally, when he reached the shore of Lanka, the first encounter he had was Lankini. She was a female personality who was entrusted with the responsibility of protecting Lanka. And when she saw Hanuman, she confronted Hanuman and was about to thrash him. So Hanuman, one, gave her a sako. And she fell to the ground. And when that happened, she then remembered that there was this understanding in Lanka that the day that one monkey would come, the whole of Lanka would be destroyed. So she bowed before Hanuman because that was his mission. And eventually she went and informed Ravana. So Hanuman enters, Hanuman searches, Hanuman finds Sita. Many, many nice passages of Hanuman's expertise as a minister. So many nice things. And he then returns back to inform Ram that he found Sita. And then a plan is made to cross the ocean. We'll hear something about that shortly. And another one of the hero forces of Hanuman, very famous, when Ravana pierced the body of Lakshmana with his powerful Shakti Shela weapon, the royal physician informed there's this very special herb that can cure this, but it's very far away. And everyone looked at Hanuman, and Hanuman was ready. Off he went to go not only bring the herb, which he couldn't find, so instead he brought the whole mountain. And this is a very famous episode in Ramayana, famous for Hanuman. You know, people have one of those, whatever you call those things, on their dashboard. And there's Hanuman moving back and forth, holding up a mountain. And the herb was taken by the doctor from the mountainside and administered to Lakshman, and he revived. And then once again, later in the battle, again, Ravana was trying to kill his brother, Vibhishan, and Lakshmana very cleverly stopped him, firing so many arrows at Ravana that he had to attend to Lakshmana. And then he said, very well, you've saved Vibhishan's life, but now you're going to lose your life. And a very powerful weapon created by Maya Danava was hurled by Ravana at Lakshmana, pierced his chest. And here's a painting of Ram removing that lance from Lakshmana's chest over there on the left side. That's ten-headed Ravana. And again, some herb was needed. And so a different mountain was the source of that herb. Hanuman went to get the mountain number two, Mahodaya Mountain. And he returned, as the painting shows, on in the foreground, that's the doctor. Sushena was his name. Jambavan is the bear on the right, and Ram is with a beard and mustache. Anyway, and with the crown on that Sugriva, and Hanuman's soaring in the air carrying the mountain. And Sushena knew which herb to get, and he administered the herb, the Sanjiva Harani herb, and Lakshman was cured. So these are just some of the exploits and glories of the powerful Hanuman. And as we've been discussing in the morning classes, he resides, Ram returned to Ayodhya, and along with his associates after ruling for a long time, and requested Hanuman to stay behind and spread his glories and chant his glories constantly. So Hanuman remained at Kim Purusha Varsha. That's what this section says. Srila Shukadeva Goswami is narrating. It's the central island of Bhumandala called Jambudweep, and one of those sections is Kim Purusha Varsha. My dear king, that's Maharaj Parikshit, in Kim Purusha Varsha, the great devotee Hanuman is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshmana and dear husband of Sita Devi. A host of Gandharvas is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramachandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and Arishtasena, the chief person in Kim Purusha Varsha, constantly hear those glories with complete attention. Hanuman chants the following mantras. He likes to chant glories of Ram. Hanuman is an eternal associate of Lord Ramachandra, but just like in some of the other Lord's pastimes, there's an occasion when they first meet. And the occasion when they first meet is after meeting Shabari, because on Friday evening we discussed Ram meeting Shabari. He then goes to meet Sugriva at Shabari's request, and also Kabanda's request to meet Sugriva. But Sugriva is really nervous, more than nervous. He's afraid because his brother, Vali, it was very powerful, invincibly powerful, at least according to Sugriva's capacity. And there was some enmity between the two, and so he thought, Sugriva thought, maybe these two, dressed in deerskin and tree bark, like ascetics with matted locks on their head, but carrying bows and swords, maybe this is just some trick of Vali. So he sent Hanuman to go check them out. Hanuman is one of his loyal ministers. And because Hanuman, as we see in the painting here, had the capacity of assuming different forms, he assumed the form of a brahmana. And the exchange between them was their first exchange, and it's a very significant exchange, which would take some time to narrate. But that's their first meeting. And very quickly, Hanuman could understand that these two are not to be afraid, you know, they're not foes, they're not enemies. That was Sugriva's worry. They're divine personalities. So he offers his respects to them. He takes them directly to Sugriva and introduces them, saying not only they're to be trusted, but they're a friendship should be formed because you, Sugriva, will be successful as your minister. This is my advice. So he follows his advice. And then when it comes time to search for Sita, Ram, having studied the nature of Hanuman and hearing the words of Sugriva honoring him, he decides to give his ring, personal ring, to Hanuman, saying, I have all confidence in you that you will find Sita, and when you find Sita, show her this ring, because she'll recognize it and she'll know it's mine, that you're my messenger. So he had enormous trust and empowerment. Here he is again giving his ring, the monkey with the crown, that's Sugriva, and the background, that's Lakshmana, and over on our right is Jambavan and so many vanaras in the background. Text number 3. Let me please your lordship by chanting the Bija Mantra Omkar, because it starts Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all good qualities of the Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, you exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmanas, who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So like this painting and the next painting here, we always see Ram carrying a bow. Now sometimes there's really old paintings, you can't exactly tell too easily who's who. But the one with the bow, that's Ram. Just like the one with the chopper, Parshuram. The one with the flute, that's Krishna. The one carrying a little kamandalu, that's Vamana. But the one carrying the bow, that's Ram. And he had a thing for bows when he was invited to the court of Janak to string the bow of mighty Lord Shiva. He not only strung the bow, but he snapped the bow. The snapping of the bow was so loud, as you see in the painting, the sound vibration was knocking people over. And it's a mighty bow. There's different versions of Ramayana, but it took 30 men, some say it took 300 men, just to roll the bow out into the court from its storage place on wheels. And Ram effortlessly picked it up and cracked the bow, and there's Sita with the marriage garland ready to accept her good husband, Lord Ramachandra. And Janaka is seated on the throne, very pleased. Here's another painting. The bow looks much more slender here. There's the wheeled cart that was pulled to carry the bow. And Vishvamitra is overseeing the whole situation. Lakshmana by his side. Little tiny Sita there, and Sita's sister. What was Sita's sister's name?
Urmila.
Urmila. So Ram broke the bow. Here's a photograph of the palace of King Janak, or at least a replica or a more modern version of his palace. At the capital of his kingdom. Janaka is one of the 12 great Mahajans, authorities of all time, and Sita was his daughter. Now he's the, as he broke the bow of Lord Shiva, he showed his position as a supremely powerful being. But one of the pastimes, it's not in Valmiki Ramayana, but several of the other Ramayans, when he was returning from Lanka, he was riding the Pushpaka Vimana, heading back to Ayodhya, because his 14 years of exile had passed. But he stopped in some of the places where he had visited to show Sita where he had performed his pastimes. And one of those places was Dhanushkoti. And when he stopped there, Agastya Muni was there to honor and praise and appreciate all of his wonderful achievements. And he went to the Mahendra Mountain again and recounting to Sita what he had done. So Angira Muni offering appreciation of Lord Ramachandra, and Lord Ramachandra then said, your appreciation is very wonderful, but at the same time, I've killed the grandson of Lord Brahma. And so to kill the son of a Brahmana is a great sin, and I'm seeking your recommendation. What should I do to atone for that sin of having killed the son of a Brahmana? And Angira said, well, he was the son of a Brahmana, but he was very sinful. But if you want a procedure that will not only take care of anything that may have come for you, but for all of mankind, by the worship of Lord Shiva, you can do that for counteracting any and all sin. So there wasn't a linga of Lord Shiva available. Hanuman volunteered, I'll go get one. So off he went, doing the Hanuman. But there was some difficulty on the other end to get the Shivalinga that he wanted. The auspicious time was passing. And so what happened was Sita, with her own hand, fashioned a Shivalinga. And from that time it was called Rama Linga, given by Lord Shiva himself. And Ram worshipped that Shivalinga, fashioned by Sita's hand. As soon as that worship was done, Hanuman showed up. And it was too late because the yajna was already performed. And so a second Shila, Lord Shivalinga, was placed, and they're worshipped nearby one another. That there's confusion sometimes. The place where this is worship is going on is Rameshwara, and some take it that Shiva is the Ishwara of Ram, and Vaishnavas take it the other way. Rameshwara indicates that Lord Shiva is a great personality who worshipped the deity as Lord Ram. So if you're a Vaishnava, it's not a problem. Here's a nice photograph of that place where that worship occurred. The powerful Lord Ram exhibited his divinity sometimes. Certainly one of the most outstanding ones was building the bridge to Lanka. But to build the bridge to Lanka, he wanted to achieve the assistance of the ocean personified, Samudra. So he sat by the side of the ocean and fasted for 3 days, and Samudra was not budging. So Ram became angry. And by the power, simply by the power of his glance, the ocean began to boil. That's such a powerful glance. The eyes of the person, every limb, angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti, any one of his limbs can do any other thing another limb can do. Just with his eyes, he can boil. That would be pretty good if you could just go in the kitchen, look at a pot of rice, and the water starts to boil and the rice is cooked. But that's just a pot on your stove. It's not like a lake or what to speak of an ocean. So the power of Ram, now some versions of Ramayana say he fired arrows. Some versions of Ramayana say it was his glance. But in any case, he's all powerful. And so when Samudra saw the ocean was boiling and the fish were being harmed, he came and offered his respects before Lord Ramachandra, saying, whoops, I didn't understand who you were, but now I understand who you are, and you want some service, I'll be glad to assist, please tell me. And so Samudra made some suggestions how to build the bridge. Next verse, text 4. The Lord, this is Hanuman praying, the Lord whose pure form, Sachit Ananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature, and because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor he has a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. And let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. Now, we were discussing this in the morning class. When I see this painting, it reminds me of Lakshmi and Narayan. Lakshmi is at the lotus feet of Narayan, massaging the lotus feet of Narayan. And Sita is at the lotus feet of Ram, massaging the lotus feet of Ram. And in the background is Lakshmana on the lookout, just so he can be of service to Lord Ramachandra, who doesn't need anyone, but he would like serving him. The fascination with the Lord's lotus feet is very special. He would kindly give that facility even to Guha when he wanted to cross the Ganga. Guha was there and made an arrangement, but before making the arrangement to cross the Ganga, he requested the privilege to wash the Lord's feet. A nice Sharma painting, B.G. Sharma painting. The Nishada king was a great devotee, although by birth, like we heard on Friday evening, like Shabari, or by birth, Hanuman, or all the Vanaras, not by birth very exalted, but very devoted to Ram, and so he honored the devotion of Guha. And many other passages in Ramayana speaking about Guha's devotion to Ram. This is the place, we visited this place, where Lord Ramachandra crossed the river Ganga by boat, arranged by Guha. When we were at this location, there's different versions of Ramayana, and the version of Ramayana that we spoke from gave a different explanation. That is, Ram requested Guha to make an arrangement to cross the Ganga. A boat was arranged. And Lakshman was told to get on first so that he could help Sita board the boat. And then Ram was ready to board the boat. But as you see in the painting, this is an ISKCON devotee that heard this narration. He became inspired, so he 2 days ago he sent me this painting. Huh? The boatman is saying, no, don't step on the boat. Great calamity will come. And Sita was disturbed hearing him. And so Ram said, well, somehow or other we have to cross the boat. We have to cross the river. He said, but I have been told that when your feet touch something, then a woman will come out. I was told you stepped on a rock and some woman came out. And I'm married and I have children, and you step in my boat and the boat becomes a woman, I've got a problem. So Ram said, what do you see as a solution? I have to cross the river. So the boatman smiled and said, it's possible if I can wash all the particles of dust from your feet, and then you can get on the boat and cross. And Sita was very disturbed. But Ram understood what he was doing. So the boatman got a plate, asked Ram to place his feet on the plate or bowl, and washed again and washed again and washed again, smiling. And then he drank the water. And he sprinkled the water upon his family and the village people nearby. And then he said, now you can get in the boat. And when they got on the other side, there was another exchange where Hanuman and Ram, as is the custom for a noble person when they receive some even modest service from a simple person, they want to give them a gift. They want to reciprocate with them, having received some meaningful service. But he was silent. He didn't say anything, but the expression on his face was understood by Sita. So immediately she reached for her ring and pulled the ring off her finger and handed the ring to Ram to give to the boatman. And Ram was extending the ring to the boatman. And the boatman said, I can't accept some favor from you. The greatest of all favors was to be able to render some service. So please don't insist, because my life has now been made perfect just to be able to engage in this service. So please allow me to do this lifetime after lifetime. Very nice exchange. And there's some commentary on that portion of this particular Ramayana. And the commentary says that the boatman previously was in the a tortoise in the Garbhodak Ocean. And as he was swimming about the Garbhodak Ocean, he saw the lotus feet of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And he wanted to lick the lotus feet of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, but Lakshmi saw, oh, we can't have a tortoise touch the feet of Vishnu. And she pushed him away. So he then took the same mood and same opportunity to worship the lotus feet of Lord Ram, making his life perfect. Now, there's more to the prayers, but we've almost gone 1 hour. And we've covered the prayers that we discussed in the morning class. So my thought was to end here and then see if there's some discussion, and invite those who would like to attend the morning class and hear the rest of the prayers. And it's not a trick. It's a matter of being conscious of time and not extending and extending and extending, because Ram Leela is very easy to keep speaking and speaking and speaking, and time keeps passing and passing, and So let us keep our schedule and invite you to attend the rest if you like, or you can just read on your own, or both. What we'll be discussing tomorrow morning is starting with text 5 from Canto 5, chapter 19. Jambudvip and the residents of Jambudvip. Because Kim Purusha Varsha, where Hanuman is presently worshipping Lord Ramachandra, who is there receiving his worship, is part of Jambudvip. It's where he resides. So, anyone present have any questions you'd like to ask, or give the online folks a chance to do what online folks do? Okay.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I have a question that you said Dasharatha, he ruled for 60,000 years. And I also heard that Rama was lived for 12,000 years.
Yeah.
Right? So, but Mother Kaikai, why she asked for only 14 years of exile for him? If you compare with 12,000 or 60,000 years, 14 years is nothing, right?
Short.
So why 14
years? The rationale, the explanation is given, her rationale was that everyone is now attached to Ram. And if Bharat becomes king, and then there's going to be, you know, a problem with people that are attached to Ram. But after 14 years, they'll get over their attachment to Ram. They'll get used to Bharat being the king. That was the rationale. And 14 years is enough time to get over that. We want this king instead of that king. That was her thought process. What you're saying has some relevance, but, you know, that was her thought process.
Because Pandavas also went for 14 years, right? So is there any significance
for 14
years?
I don't know. Now, Ram was very young. I mean, there's Treta Yuga life duration, but at the time that he was to be coronated, he was 24. And that number becomes known because later when Sita is speaking to Ravan, she gives some timeline of when Ram went to Ayodhya, when Ram went to Janak's kingdom, he was 12 and she was 6. And already there were like princes and kings wanting to marry her when she was just 6. But then they went back and for 12 years they had stayed in Ayodhya. So 12 plus 12, he was 24. So 24 then being in exile for 14 years, it gives something of the timeline. Now, in contrast to 60,000 and 12,000, it seems too small. Why didn't she ask for more? But that was the rationale.
There was just one question from online, from Raksha Mataji. Why was Sita distressed when Guha asked Lord Ram to wash his feet?
Well, she wasn't disturbed. It wasn't Guha. The story that I narrated was the boatman said, I'll be ruined if you step in the boat. She was disturbed. You'll be blessed if he steps in his boat. She was disturbed. And then Ram said, you know, what's the solution to this? Because we have to cross somehow or another. So she wasn't disturbed when the solution was wash his feet. She was disturbed, you know, we'll be ruined if you step in the boat.
And then Rahul Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Just as there are commentaries on the illusion that Mother Sita got deluded by looking at the demon Maricha as a golden deer, are there any commentaries on Lakshmana getting wounded in the battle against Ravana?
Just part of battle. I don't know if there's commentary on, well, why shouldn't he? He was in battle. There was another situation where they both, what's Ravana's son, Indrajit, had some weapon and they both looked like they were unconscious. So it's just part of what happens in battle. It's a pastime.
And then this question is from Sanchari Mataji. To my understanding, Hanuman was the only personality outside of the SPG, Supreme Personality, got it, who appeared through Immaculate Conception. Were there other personalities outside of the Lord who also appeared this way? If so, are there any connection with how Jesus appeared? Because he says he is the Son of the God, but is he really? Is there an indication of him being the son of a demigod?
Well, that's a little complicated question. You know, I can't think of examples of Immaculate Conception. With Vasudeva and Devaki, of course, there's one. And with Dasarath and Ram and Kaikeyi, it's not indicating Immaculate Conception. It doesn't have to be. It can be, the Lord can appear however he wants to appear. Let's put it that way. He can appear from a pillar. He can appear however he wants to appear. Because he's everywhere and he can have a pastime to appear this way, that way, the other way. Without having any conception. Immaculate or otherwise. So his appearance is a pastime. And specific, she's asking confirmation about Christ's, the Immaculate Conception nature of Christ's appearance. Well, it's just what the Bible says, and people that have faith in the Bible, they don't question it. Virgin Mary had a baby boy, that the song says. Because the Bible says. So the songs say, and that's the conviction. So how can a virgin bear a child? Requires a father. So the seed-giving father of all living entities, but it doesn't have to be through the normal process of conception.
And this question is from Vaishnav, Leleshwari Mataji's son. If Ravana if Ravana was not there,
Ravana was not where?
It's a posing question. Did not exist.
If Ravana didn't exist,
would demigods have given the powers to Hanuman?
Why not? It was said by Brahma, this Vanara will be an assistant of Lord Vishnu to finish Ravana, so give your ample blessings. Now, he could have said that for another reason. You know, Vayu is upset, and give him blessings so Vayu will stop being upset, so we can all breathe again. No?
One from Amara Mataji. Lord Hanuman lifted the hill for the service of Supreme Lord in Ram Leela, and in Krishna Leela, Supreme Lord lifted the hill for serving the devotees.
Who must have been a devotee?
Like Hanuman lifted the hill in Ram Leela, and Krishna lifted the hill.
Oh, Krishna lifted the hill. Okay.
For serving the devotees, can you kindly shed some light on these parallels? What does this signify?
I don't know if there is a parallel. The Lord can exhibit unlimited potencies, And that's the, if there's a parallel, that's the parallel. I don't really understand the question though. Do you understand the question?
Basically, she is telling Hanuman is lifting the hill for the service of the Lord and Krishna is lifting the hill for the devotees. So is there any parallel? Is there any significance?
Not really. Not really. Just, you know, the power comes from one source. Hanuman's power comes the same source as Krishna's power, and that's Krishna is the source of power. Hanuman was invested with power for service, and Krishna was engaged in service, serving both Indra, curbing his pride, and the residents of Vraja. I'm not sure I've answered her question, but that's the best I can understand the question. Okay?
And then this is from Sachishita Prabhu from Boston. Where is Kim Purusha place? I heard part of Jambadweep. Where is Jambadweep in the world?
Okay. Jambadweep, we went through this. The first, what was it? Saturday morning. So whoever's asking this question can listen to the recording of Saturday morning's class. But Jambudvip is not exactly part of this world. Jambudvip is, this world is part of Bharatvarsha. And Bharatvarsha is one of the nine varshas or tracts of land. Varsha means tract of land. In Jambudvip. And Jambudvip is the central island of seven islands in Bhumandala. So that's, and Kim Purusha Varsha is just north of Bharatvarsha, north in the northerly direction from the direction of Jambudvip. Jambudvip is a circular island. Bharatvarsha is towards the edge, and above Bharatvarsha is the Himalaya Mountains. And on the other side of the Himalaya Mountains, it is not the same Himalaya Mountains as in North India. On the other side is Kim Purusha Varsha, and then there's another mountain range that separates Kim Purusha Varsha from Harivarsha. And in Harivarsha, that's where Prahlad resides, worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev. So anyway, there's the description you'll find in Canto 5, where these places are. And the whole of the Temple of Vedic Planetarium is to make a depiction of the structure of our universe. Now, if there's time, Maybe I'll do this. Tomorrow morning, those who attend tomorrow morning's class, maybe I should do it tomorrow evening. Maybe it's easier for people to watch the evening class. But there's a little short video, like, you know, 5-6 minutes, where it's a animated video showing what's going to be depicted in the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, or what is the structure of the universe per Canto 5. Now, it doesn't specify over there as Kim Purusha Varsha, but it says, here's Jambudvip with nine Varshas separated by mountain ranges, with Ilavrati Varsha at the center and Mount Samira with the center of Ilavrati Varsha. Which would be better, morning or evening class? Maybe both. Huh? More people seem to be attending the evening class. Yeah? Stay tuned tomorrow evening. You want to see the structure of the universe. And we'll mention where Kim Purusha Varsha is as we go along.
Shri Kishore Prabhu was asking, are the powers of Hanuman eternal?
No.
Did they manifest in Hanuman during the Ramayana?
Yes.
through Brahmana.
Well, whatever the demigods can give comes from one source.
Just like the name Govinda for Krishna is eternal, but it manifested in this material world
yes.
through Indra.
Okay. Well, it's not through Indra. It's manifested by Surabhi. She gives the name. But it's an eternal name.
And then we have final question from Kalpataru Mataji. Did Guha receive any benediction in his previous life that he was able to serve Lord Ramchandra?
I don't know. It's probably mentioned somewhere, but I don't know. Like who was Guha in his previous life? I'll see if I can find the answer to that. If there is there a reference saying, maybe. Huh? That's the boatman. Anything else? We're good? One last thing.
Lord Rama worshipped Shiva in Rameshwaram.
Yes.
What is the reason behind that? He doesn't have to worship.
He doesn't have to do anything. His Leela is the ideal king. The ideal king, as ideal king, he was faultless. That even he was faultless, that is, Ravan was, and yes indeed, who was the son of a brahmana, but he was a demon. So, and he was to be killed because of his, by laws of Manu, just by, you know, worldly law. He is to be put to death because of his atrocities. And his kidnapping Sita, by laws of Manu, punishable by death. So there was no karma or sin incurred. It's something like Krishna saying to Arjuna, yes, Ashwatthama is a son of a brahmana, but he's not behaving like a brahmana. He's just killed 5 sleeping sons. This is not by birth brahmana, but not by quality brahmana. So there's no sin incurred. So then if there's no sin incurred, why is he doing that? The ideal king. And that's what Augustus said. There was no need for you to do this, but you're setting the example for others. No need. And then there's an additional reason, and that additional reason is the Lord likes to honor his devotee. So that's what he was doing. Either of you two, anything? No? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.